What I'm going to do is just read this through one more time, put it on the tape for the ones that are not with us today. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that there should be time no longer. And in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoken to me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be as in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, but as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Revelation chapter 10 is a small chapter, but it's very important in the book. If we go back, and I can't go back and preach the other nine chapters ahead of it, they're all laid there to build upon, and it gets greater and greater as we go. But the first verse says, and I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow is up on his head. What is this about? Who are we talking about? But what Christ are we talking about? Do you think we're talking about one man?
No.
This is the whole Christ being descended from where? The spirit realm. This is the Christ coming down from God out of heaven or out of the spirit realm. See, the Christ has always been. The Christ was created in Genesis 1:1. In the Reshit, in the first fruits, God created heaven and earth, the perfect God-man. Okay? So it was created before the world was created. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, God created this people. Now, they're not ascending, but what are they doing? They're descending out of the heavenly realms to reveal God in flesh to the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's not coming down as one person. He's coming in many people and revealing himself in flesh, just like he has here and in many other places on the earth. He's revealing himself by coming from the heavenly realms. We have no way of ascending to where God is in the heavenlies, do we? God has to come down to us. The only way we can get there is by His Spirit as He takes us there. But this mighty angel came down from the spirit realm, clothed with a what? That cloud represents many things. It's a covering, but it's also the Spirit of God. The cloud's the Holy Ghost. Right? And the rainbow was upon his head. What is the rainbow? The rainbow was given as a covenant that God would never destroy the earth again by flood, by water, right? So he's never going to destroy the earth again. But really in this covenant we see on this man's head, this corporate man's head, what is really this covenant? Spell it out. Don't say, well, it's just a covenant. What is it? Huh? Okay, but there's something else I'm looking for. How about the mind of Christ? Where was it at? See, the covenant's in his head. See, where is the covenant sealed with you? In your heart, which is your thinking process, which is your mind. See, so this covenant's where? The covenant that God made with each one of us, where is it at? It's in us. Just like Ed said about some things starting to look better, right? See, it was there all the time, wasn't it? See? But we just didn't see it. The covenant has been made. It's been placed within our spirit from before the foundations, right? So all he's doing now is descending. These sons are descending and bringing this glory to the earth. Something hit me while we were in worship there. What do you think glory is? Yeah. See, we keep thinking glory is something we do. It's just letting him be what he wants to be in you. See, the glory that he reveals in me won't be the glory in you, will it? See, because we're all different. And each one of us have another aspect of that glory to reveal to the earth. One person cannot today reveal the glory of God. It takes a corporate son to reveal it. There's too much. One of us couldn't hold it. I guarantee you that. But it takes this corporate son he's dealing with. But this rainbow was upon his head, this mind of Christ, and his face was as it were the what? Well, what is that? The enlightenment. See? This sun that descends from the heavenlies to the earth to bring the glory of God has the radiation, has the enlightenment of God. Just as Jacob's ladder was expressed in the Old Covenant, they saw it in a different way. See, he said, as he had told his prophets ahead of time. He told the prophets, and Jacob saw it this way. He saw angels ascending. He saw God lifting up humanity, filling with his glory and sending them back to the earth to reveal his glory to man. It's not hard to understand what he saw. See? Jacob's ladder wasn't that hard to understand. Now, then it was hard. And it said his feet or his lifestyle was as pillars of fire. What does it mean? This wasn't some great big guy with great big huge legs that looked like big pillars of fire come walking on the earth. See, as you hear people preach this stuff, this is not natural. What is his legs? What are your legs and your feet? It's what carries you through this life. It's your lifestyle. So it's saying his lifestyle was like pillars of what? Now, what are pillars? Think about this. What are they? Supports. Okay, but nobody builds a building without first testing those pillars. So I see a pillar as something that's been tested and tried. And it's fire. What does fire do? It tests, it tries, and purifies the lifestyle. So these people that come from the heavenlies down, this Son of God in the corporate Son coming to reveal His glory, has the mind of Christ, doesn't he? And his feet and legs are pillars that have been tested and tried. Their lifestyle has been tested and tried. They have ascended into the heavenlies. Now they can descend into the earth to share His glory with man and humanity. That's what He's talking about. This isn't about worshiping somebody who has came to a greater revelation than you have. See, we can get caught up in those things. It's not about any human being having the glory of God. It's about all of us sharing the glory of God and revealing that to our brothers and sisters. We can get caught up in worship because a man or a woman is in a ministry that travels and they get a lot of notoriety, they get a lot of fame and recognition, and all of a sudden you see people sitting around their feet like a bunch of little kids sitting around somebody passing out $100 bills. That's not God. See, that's man. You don't worship the vessel God uses. Why do you think he did not let them have the body of Moses? They would have set it up, bronzed it, or gold-plated it, and made him God. The same thing with Jesus. Why do you think there's no body? A natural man will never be seen again. It's a corporate man. You want to see Christ, you're going to have to look at your brothers and sisters if you're going to find it. Because it's not coming the way the church has been preaching. This is the way God has set it up from the beginning, and it'll always be. His head and face is the only thing that's not plural.
Well,
yeah. But I know it's plurality he's talking about, but I mean, some of these words are plural and some aren't, but I'm not caught up into the language of saying it is or isn't, but we know it's the plurality of the corporate Christ. Okay? Verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book opened, and he set or placed his what? Upon the what? Now, what's the right speak of all the time? Right hand, right foot,
authority.
Power and authority of God. Okay. So he set his right foot on the what? Well, I want to show you something else in that besides multitudes. I want to show you two covenants. Look here. The sea, right? And the what? Okay. What goes along with here is this one. Right? And what goes along with this one? The sea has what?
Sand.
Which covenant?
Perfect.
Two. Sand is second covenant. Dust, sand, stars. The earth is the dust covenant. So we see this lifestyle here of this great corporate angel coming down. Okay? The corporate Christ. And when he comes down, he said he had this little hand, this book, I mean, this little book in his hand, and it was open. And he set his right foot upon the sea. That means his full power and authority. And where is the power and authority of God manifest in the earth and the church realm today? Pentecost. In the Pentecost realm, the second realm. So he placed his foot on the second realm, and he placed his foot over on the earth, the dust realm. So he didn't stand on the sea. He stood on the dust and the sand. Imagine that. So he's saying the foundation of this angel is where? He took his lifestyle to the dust and he took it to the sand. He's not leaving anybody out, is he? He's taking it to everybody. When this angel comes down, he comes down to gather the earth. He didn't come down to gather a few. So I see him setting his power and authority on both covenants. Okay? His power and authority basically is going to be shown in Pentecost, and his lifestyle is still going to be on the dust, on the earth. Still going to be there. Verse 3, and cried with a loud voice, exactly like a lion, is what it should say. He cried like a loud lion. Who's the lion of the tribe of Judah? It's the Christ. And when he had cried, and once this lion had cried or roared, I can see then something else in that. Can you tell me what it is? I can see crucifixion. When the lion cried. Whew. Can you see it? When Jesus hung on a cross, what did he cry out? Father, why have you forsaken me? I hear the lion crying. I can see crucifixion in this. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Seven thunders. Thunders always speaks of the Word of God being released in the earth. I see this as a covenant word. Okay? Seven's complete. I see this as a complete covenant word of God being spoken. If you go back to chapter 8, verse 7, it talks about this first angel standing and the third angel, all these different angels and all this stuff going. But I see this as the completeness of God's Word being revealed. Okay? But look what he does when this happens. The seven thunders uttered their voices. This is that covenant word, that full covenant, the full explanation of everything that God's got is revealed. In Corinthians, Paul wrote this. At the end of the first chapter, I believe it was, he said, or the second chapter, he says, eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has revealed, has prepared for those that love Him. Now, that's good when it come out of Isaiah in their day. But the next verse Paul wrote, what did he say? But God has, past tense, revealed unto us all things by His Spirit. Are we in the dark any longer? The only reason that the average person sits in church in ignorance is because the preachers tell them they're ignorant. Absolutely. But we sit in churches because we are told we're ignorant. The book says you know all things. Hello. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, if that's not true, then what are we listening for? If I don't know anything, then why are we listening? You know what I know. I'm just trying to help you understand what you already know. I can't teach you anything you don't know. I'm just trying to help you remember what God's placed in your heart. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now, there's a key here. He spoke it, but who did he speak it to? Tell me, huh? Who? Absolutely. John represents the overcomer. Now, is everybody hearing this word today?
No.
God speaks His word. Hear my heart. I'm not trying to divide, slice, cut anything up. I'm just trying to tell you what God says. God's word is not spoken to everybody at the same time. There's a first fruit that is hearing this word of God. And John was representative of that first fruit. Okay? So he spoke this word. It's a corporate word, but how do you hear it? Individually. It's a corporate word that you hear by the faith of God that He places within your heart. And when you hear it, it's like, I've known that all along. How many of us have heard this word come alive in our heart and say, God, I knew this, but no one ever gave me the witness that I have the Word of God written in my heart. See, church has kept you so bound in religion, they can't let you express the Christ in you. That's the whole problem. We don't have the Christ expressed. All we have is someone standing in the pulpit trying to impress you by their intellectual understanding of a bunch of words written on a page that they have no clue about. They're just repeating words. God is not interested in making preachers famous. God is only interested in making His sons known to the earth, that they can express Him in the earth. It's not about preachers. It's not about teachers. It's not about apostles or prophets or evangelists. Those are the tools that God gave. They're gifts. If you read that word in there in Ephesians 4 and 11, they were gifts given to the body of Christ. They're not come to rape the body of Christ. They've been given to service the body of Christ. And people just don't understand that. And the church can keep them in ignorance. Man, they got them right where they want, under their thumb. But this is a word for the corporate Christ, and you hear it individually. And as you hear it individually in your spirit, guess what happens? It's like, I'm trying to think of this game. Something on the computer I saw. It's a game. Oh, I know what it is. It's that bubbles game. When you shoot this one little bubble up on the screen, there's a whole bunch of them there, and you try to match the colors up. And it's just kind of like we are. There's some of us that are so far in God, and some's over here, and some's over there, and we're in different realms. And all of a sudden, God shoots a little bit of information, another little bubble up there, and it goes, and it just locks up against the other bubble. You know, you just come joined to somebody in spirit because you realize now that our spirits are the same. And when God reveals that in us, we see that as a likeness, and like spirits draw to each other. How can two walk together except they be agreed? See? So it's just like you just draw to people. How many of us have met people that you've never met before, and in 5 minutes you seem like you know them? Wonder what that is? See, it's the spirit of the corporate Christ in that person, and there's something in that person that's drawing you to them, and something in you drawing them to you. It's just the Christ. Each one of us have a different expression, but the same spirit. So it's just drawing us all together. That's called the Feast of what?
Oneness.
Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Oneness. Feast of Ingathering. God's not destroying. God's not taken apart. God is bringing us into oneness. That's what He's talking about. Okay. Verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted his hands to heaven. Now, what does that tell you? Why would it say he lifted his hands to heaven? What is that?
Praise.
Worship. Worship. He worshiped. Okay, praise and worship, but he's worshiping the Father. The corporate Christ will know where their sufficiency is. Where is it? It's in the Father. See? And everything they draw is going to be from the Father. See? Not that He's way up in heaven. He's just in a realm above us. Okay? Father's always bigger than His sons, isn't He? He's always going to be bigger than His sons. I know in the natural we can get some little variations, but that's not what we're talking about. But this is worship. And this angel, notice this angel was worshiping, but his foot was still on the dust and on the sand. See, we can't forget our foundation. Remember a while back I used to say, don't throw Mama from the train. See, Mama brought us forth, didn't she? I came out of that same Babylonian system that the rest of you did. But see, if when I come out, I go back and kill the Mama hen, there ain't going to be no more eggs, is there? And see, Mama is the incubator to bring forth the sons. Leave Mama alone. It's all right. I have to know that when I walked into Passover, that was my whole life. I knew nothing else. I'm just, my God, I'm saved. Dumber than a rock, but I'm saved. See? That's where we're at. But then come along Pentecost and said, good Lord, there's something beyond just being, there's something better than being saved. Good God, just blow us away. But those are foundations. See, two pillars underneath the Christ. If I don't come to my salvation, the knowledge of my full salvation, I surely ain't going to walk into Pentecost. And if I don't step into Pentecost, guess what? I ain't getting into tabernacles. I ain't going to get that covenant on my head that He calls a rainbow in here, called the mind of Christ. I got to go all the way with this thing. And once I come through Passover, Pentecost, I can't go back and kick those two parts of my life out. If I do, that's what I'm standing on. What am I going to do then? I'm going down. We can't get rid of anything. God put it here for a purpose. So we're not going to beat anybody up, are we? Leave it alone. Don't throw Mama from the train. And swear by Him or in Him. He swore in Him that liveth into the age of ages, who created heaven, the spirit realm, and the things that are in the spirit realm, okay? Literally that are in the spirit realm, and the earth and the things that are in the spirit realm, and the sea and the things which are therein or in the spirit realm, that there should be time no longer. All three realms are being dealt with. And this corporate Christ who stood on the earth, right? On the sand and the earth, and lift His hands into heaven. There's a scripture that says this. There's a verse in the New Covenant that says, Jesus is the what? Mediator between who? God and man. Man is earth. God is heaven. God is spirit. So we see this corporate man standing on the earth and on the sea, on the sand, and he's reaching His hands into the heavens, into the spirit realm. The mediator. Oh God. This corporate Christ is what's tying the heavens to the earth and the sand. It's the corporate man that extends his lifestyle or her lifestyle into the heavenlies as a sacrifice for the dust and the sand that you stand on. Oh my God. But in the days, not days, but day, in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, know this, that this day that we're talking about is not a 24-hour period. It's a time in your life when you come to this day of the Lord. Not a 24-hour period. It's a time in your life. It's not the same for everybody. When I walk into it, it's my day. It's the day of the Lord in my life. Again, it's a corporate word, but you hear it individually. Everyone comes to this in their time. Didn't Paul say in Timothy? Every man in his what? Own order. So there's a time preset by the Father. When it's time, you'll hear it. It's not your responsibility. Just love God and worship God wherever you're at, and it'll come to it. Oh my. But in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, and seven speaks of what? Completeness. In John 19, verse 30, Jesus said this, as He was stretched out upon a tree between heaven and earth. What did he say? It is finished. He was stretched out between the heaven and the earth and said, it's finished. My God. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be what? When Jesus died on that tree and said, it's finished, the mystery began to be unveiled. That there was a corporate man on this earth that would stand up and stand on the foundation of the dust and the sand on Passover and Pentecost and yet reach into the heavens in tabernacles and be that mediator between God and man. As he has declared to his servants, the prophets, this thing has been declared from before the foundation of the earth. You can find this message declared in all the prophets, every one of them. Every one of them. And the voice which I heard from heaven or out of the spirit realm spoke unto me and said, go and take the little book. This word book here is biblion, where we get our word Bible. What do you think he's telling you? He says, go and take the Bible, right? Which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. He's telling you that the one, the corporate Christ that he has set upon the earth to stand upon the dust and the sand and to reach into the heavenlies has a book in his hand and it's open. That means there's nothing closed. That means that the corporate Christ has an understanding. This book is not sealed. It is what? It's open. That means they have become a written epistle to be read of all men, doesn't it? They can understand what God is saying in spirit. Why? Because they are spirit. They have come to the same place. They have walked through and understand that that crucifixion that took place 2,000 years ago took place in our lives too. We were on that cross. We were the ones extended between heaven and earth as a sacrifice for humanity. That wasn't just that man. That was us. You've got to know it was you. Verse 9, he says, and I went to the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. Give me the word of God. Put it in my heart so I can be extended between heaven and earth. Let me be the sacrifice for the rest of humanity. Let me be the one. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. The same cry through all the prophets. Let me be the sacrifice for humanity. I will extend myself and give my life for the rest of them. Paul said it this way, I'm in a dire strait. I could go on and be with the Lord, but it's better for you that I stay here and give you this understanding. But he said unto me, take it and eat it, and it shall be bitter to your soul. It'll be bitter to your soul, but they don't want to give it up. But it shall be in your mouth as sweet as honey. Now there's things go in your mouth, and there's things come out of your mouth. When you put it in your mouth and swallow it, it's going to be bitter when it's going in. When you come to this understanding that you will be this person that God sets between the heaven and earth as a mediator, it's going to be bitter. You're going to cry, no, not me. Why you want to send me? Want somebody else to do it? But you know what? He says, my word will not return unto me void. Right? When that word gets in your heart, it shall accomplish the things it was sent there unto do. And once it goes in your heart, when it returns out of you, it'll be as sweet as honey. It'll be as sweet as honey to those that hear it. Because it's going to be the life of the Christ bringing the revelation of resurrection to their life. There ain't nothing better than that. There ain't nothing better than that. In that ninth verse, he says, it shall be as in your mouth as sweet as honey. If you look in the book of Proverbs, it says honey is it's the revelation of the word. I'm not going to break into that. I'm just going to let it go. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, verse 11, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. Now, this word is totally misused. Totally, it's way out of whack. Forget the word prophesy in here, okay? Because literally all it says is, you shall speak under inspiration. You can speak under inspiration wherever you are, and it's not necessarily prophetic. People has twisted this prophetic word all over the place. Jesus was called the prophet, the priest, and the king. And Jesus never went anywhere saying, thus saith the Lord. He was Lord. He just spoke the word of God that he placed in his heart. And that's what he's called us to be. Prophets. New covenant prophets. We speak the word of God, the word of the Lord, wherever we go. Don't care. We just speak the word of the Lord. It will tear down some things and it will bring up some things. It's okay. The word of God's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides, it pierces asunder the soul and spirit. That's supposed to be separated. The only thing that enters the Holy of Holy is what? Spirit. So guess what? My soul has to be separated. And only the thing that's going to do it is the word of God, not some unadulterated. It's got to be purely unadulterated. And yet most of the word we hear in the churches today is a gospel light. It's something that's been deleted or something added to it to make it sound better and make people like it. I'm sorry, that's not what it's about. God wrote what we need, and that's exactly what I'm going to speak. And that's what He's called us as first fruit to be the mediator between God and man and to hang between the heavens and the earth and let them see His glory.
Out word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what the...